The Blind at Speed by Dan Parker. There's a photo on the page, the caption, Dan Parker and Mark Riccobono stand beside Dan's motorcycle at the Bonneville Salt Flats. From the editor, at the Sunday morning session of the 2014 NFB convention, Federationists witnessed an event unprecedented in our history. With a thunderous roar, Dan Parker entered the hall on his motorcycle, reached the stage, and turned off his machine after two short revs of the engine. Here's the speech he delivered to the convention. The Blind at Speed by Dan Parker. There is a photo on the page, the caption, Dan Parker. From the editor. Those who attend concerts know that the way one makes an entrance is important in setting the stage for the show. Not since former President Maurer entered the hall driving a small crane has the convention of the National Federation of the Blind witnessed the spectacle of the kind that started the Sunday morning session of the 2014 convention as Dan Parker entered the hall on his motorcycle, reached the stage, and turned off his machine after two short revs of the engine. Here is what he said to the convention.
Good morning, Federationists. I hope a little smell of racing gas is okay first thing in the morning. My name is Dan Parker. I'm from Salem, Alabama, and I'm honored to be here to share my life story. I look at my chapter, my life as chapters in a book. Chapter one was before blindness. Chapter two is after. Chapter one, I was born in Columbus, Georgia, raised by a race car driver. My father, still 70 years old, races today. In my adult years, I studied machine work, welding, fabrication, built race cars, motorcycles, all across the United States, Canada, and as far as the country of Qatar. In 2005, I was the ADRL Pro Nitrous World Champion, reaching top speeds of 224 miles an hour in the quarter mile. March 31st, 2012, started chapter two. It was like any other day that I've been through 1,000 times before. My team and I went to Steele, Alabama to test a brand new racing engine that was 864 cubic inches plus four stages of nitrous oxide. The third pass, the car made a horrible right turn. It cut the car completely in half. From the dash forward, there was nothing. No motor, no transmission, no steering wheel, nothing. I woke 2 weeks later from an induced coma at the University of Alabama for my family and girlfriend to realize I was totally blind. It took months of physical therapy, rehab, numerous surgeries to get any point in my life to where I could think about trying to get out of the house, much less race again. During one of the nights, sleeplessness, a dream came to me that I was not going to let blindness define me and stop my racing. I'd always known about the famed Bonneville Salt Flats, which is in Wendover, Utah, 120 miles south, 120 miles west of Salt Lake City, where men have been setting land speed records since the 1930s. Cars have been over 650 miles per hour. Motorcycles have been over 300. This was my new goal in life, to become the first blind man to race the Bonneville Salt Flats. I had a goal, but I didn't have a path to get there. I had to figure this out. Through some research, I was lucky enough to learn about the Blind Driver Challenge, Mark Riccobono, and the program of the NFB. I was lucky enough to, when I first called the NFB, I thought they might think I was crazy, and I got Joanne Wilson on the phone, shared my story with her. Thank you, Joanne. She got me in touch with Mark Riccobono. I went to the NFB, met with Mark, Dr. Maurer, and we decided that this was an achievable goal. In 10 short months, we set out on an aggressive mission to build the first motorcycle to race the Bonneville Salt Flats by a blind man. We started the project, and as any aggressive projects, a lot of friends and family asked me if I was crazy trying to get killed, and I tried to explain to them, this ain't about dying, this is about living. I had a lot of volunteers come to the house. I'm proud to say I fabricated and designed probably 50, 60% of the motorcycle myself. I still run my milling machine, my lathe, all my bending equipment. I built the jigs on the frame machine, everything to build this motorcycle. For you that are totally blind that can't see, the motorcycle is a red three-wheel bike, two wheels on the back, a real aerodynamic body with a 70cc engine with a five-speed transmission. It realistically has a top speed of about 85 miles per hour. A few weeks before the salt flats in August, we've got the motorcycle together, and it was crunch time. So it was time to test. My engineer, Patrick Johnson, that built the guidance system, along with me, the team, met at an airport in North Alabama to test. The first day we had some problems come back. We regrouped, redesigned the guidance system. 1 week to go, we tested successful at the airport. The very first pass I made successful down the airport, A to B, 100% independent. When we got to the Bonneville, Mark Riccobono was there with us. We had to demonstrate our capabilities and to prove to them that blindness was not the obstacle that was going to stop us. The race officials were absolutely impressed with our entire team, our organization, how we went about it, the guidance system, everything, and they granted us permission to race the salt flats. So on the morning of August 26, 2013, we embarked on a mission that was successful. At 11 o'clock in the morning, we made a pass down the salt. The salt is 10 miles wide by 20 miles long. So you have 2 miles to accelerate. I was on the short course, which is only a 5 mile course. 2 miles to accelerate, 1 mile average speed. I started off at mile marker one, accelerated at mile marker two. Between mile marker two and three, I did not vary 4 feet from center with the audible cues that my guidance system gives me. I averaged 55.331 miles an hour, setting a record for the fastest blind man on the salt flats, along with the first blind man on the salt flats. The night at dinner, Mark Riccobono, Bill Clapp, my team, everybody was celebrating, and we said to ourselves, this morning on the way to the salt, we were saying we could. Tonight, we're saying we did. Yeah. In the next few months, my life had slowed down a lot, and I had to reflect on what the next chapter of my life was going to be. I was reading a book by great racing legend Smokey Unick. Smokey, in his later days, was a little depressed the way his life had went and was wanting to give up. His wife brought him home a picture frame with a message in it: a man without a problem to solve is out of the game. I think Smokey's wife put it in a picture frame because she knows us men, if she didn't nail it to the wall, we would forget about it. But if you think about that message, a problem to solve is a challenge. If you're out of the game, you're on the sidelines of life. So my current challenge is I'm at Louisiana Center for the Blind receiving proper training. That's right, LCB. That quote stands true to all of us. We all have a problem to solve, to better ourselves every day, to reach out to other blind members, to blind people, to prove to ourselves, prove to society, and help inspire other blind people the infinite possibilities that we have that's only defined by our personal self, not others. So when we leave here tomorrow and everybody starts heading home, I wish y'all would take that one quote with you: a man without a problem to solve is out of the game. And everybody here, we're going to stay in the game. Thank you very much.